My guest at this time is John Leo, longtime columnist for U.S. News and World Report. He's now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and has been a longtime observer and expert on higher education, in particular the cost of higher education. And many people saw the next potential bubble after the housing crisis to be student loans, as that number of people in debt and unable to make serious dents in those loan payments has people worried that that could be the next bubble to burst. And John, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleased to be here.
Largely founded or unfounded that this could be another major punch to the gut of the U.S. economy before too long?
I think it's going to be. The Wall Street Journal had an article yesterday saying that, believe it or not, the student loan total, now $1 trillion or more, is beginning to affect the housing market. So if that's true, it's going to affect the recovery. And that's why many more people are concerned about it than were a week ago.
Is that because people can't afford a house because they've got these huge payments?
Yeah, I mean, you take on, the tuition level is different at different colleges, of course, but it's $30,000 to $50,000 a year before you're even talking about room and board at some colleges. And that's $150,000 to $200,000 in debt. If you've got that on your back and you don't happen to score a very lucrative job right out of college, you're going to have that debt with you for many, many years. And I think that will slow down purchasing all around the country.
What impact, if any, did the government taking more control over student loans a couple years ago have on this? Obviously, a lot of this debt was already there, but what is the evidence so far about whether this is making it worse? Not much
of
a difference?
Well, there are different opinions on that. I think the one thing that the government takeover did is it removed this examination of student debt from the banks. Banks don't loan money for political reasons. They loan it only because they think you can repay. But in the government plan, everybody has a vague duty to repay, and a lot of people are going to die with those debts unpaid. So once you have the government involved, you have less scrutiny of ability to pay back. Also, one idea for student loans is to make it tied to achievement. In other words, why pay for everybody with a pulse or a heartbeat to go to college? Why not pay for the ones who are going to help the economy, help the nation by having good marks? The government doesn't care whether you have any marks or not.
And so this idea of every student should get a college education is good in principle, but whether or not it's worth the investment in the taxpayer dollars is a separate question.
Yes, a big argument about that. Charles Murray, an intellectual at the American Enterprise Institute, says that he thinks about 20% of kids are college material, but Obama and the Democrats think 100% are college material. If Murray is anywhere near right, we're over-educating or sending kids to college who are not going to cut it there, and spending a lot of tax money to do so.
And so how does this change? You know, back in the housing crisis, we had criticisms of predatory lending practices on one hand and people who shouldn't have been buying in the first place on the other hand. So there were very identifiable things that could have been done differently. We've talked about how some folks might maybe not are cut out for college, but given where we are right now, what are some reasonable reforms that could be made to stave off this disaster?
Well, I think for one thing, there should be pressure on the colleges to cut prices, because they're always justifying these enormous increases year by year. They're using adjuncts, which are part-time, uncredentialed teachers. Up to three-quarters, perhaps at least two-thirds of teachers are adjuncts, very cheap help. They get paid $2,500 or $3,000 a course, and they replace real professors. Now, if you're using hired help, cheap hired help, for two-thirds or three-quarters of your faculty, you should be able to keep prices down. They don't have to go up 4% or 5% every year. So there's something very fishy about that, and I think there's got to be a consumer revolt, and I think it's brewing now. Parents are saying, why am I spending all this money to have glorified high school teachers teach my kids?
What else might be out there in terms of higher emphasis on, you know, state schools or community colleges? Will we see that?
Community colleges, yes. I think people are figuring that out, that it's much cheaper, closer to home, bare bones, and if you don't like it, you can just drop out and go to another one. The other alternative is for-profit, mostly online colleges. Now, you know, the Democrats believe that most of them are predatory and don't teach very much, And that's probably true, but some of them are quite good. And we've had articles on our site, mindingthecampus.com, about how responsive they are to consumer problems. If you own an online university, you have to pay attention to what the consumer wants. It isn't like ordinary colleges where they just assume you're going to go anyway. I have high hopes for the for-profit colleges.
Oh, we're talking with John Leo, the Manhattan Institute. And, John, how close do you think we are to this bubble bursting?
I think within the next year or so, something will happen. I think, again, it's consumer pressure. Parents are asked to pay these enormous sums, often twice the cost of a house, to send Junior to college where he probably won't learn much. There was a study last year that just shook everybody, saying that 36% of all college kids who go through 4 years get zero out of it, not one thing, no improvement at all. Well, that's a lot of money to pay for nothing.
Hmm.
And I think the public's about to figure that out.
So is this a issue Congress needs to deal with? Is it just going to be that parental revolt from the grassroots that solves this, or what?
I don't know. I'm not sure that Congress can do much here. I think it's a consumer thing. We had an article just last week by Herb London, a scholar here, who says let the market set the price. You know, don't let the government get into it. The more the government pays to defray costs, the more the tuition goes up, because these colleges are not stupid. They see if there's more money on the table and the government is laying it out, they'll suck it up with tuition increases. But if the government gets out of it and the product has to rise or fall on its own merit, I think you'll see a lot of them fall or retrench. They will not be able to keep doubling the rate of inflation every year for a product of dubious value.
Well, not exactly a rosy forecast, but it's good to have it on the mind anyway. John, thank you very much for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. John Leo, Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a longtime expert in higher education. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.